Behavioral Health Integrations podcast strives to inspire the next generation of mental health and addiction specialists. Our aim is to continue to raise awareness and encourage collaboration in the mental health and addiction industry so that it will continue to thrive. There are numerous approaches to treating mental health and substance abuse issues. On this show, we take pleasure in showcasing the diversity of these approaches used to improve the lives of others. So without further ado, your host, Jacob Minig.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Behavioral Health Integration. Today, we have a very special guest, J.R. Smith. J.R. is the co-founder of the Veterans Ranch, where they work with veterans and their families through equine therapy. J.R. will explain how, again, they use horses to help with the mental health aspects of the veterans and what they go through. On this show, we also get into discussions on how we as a society can help with the veteran suicide rate and different ways we could help them deal with the stress in their lives and help them get the services that they need. So without further ado, let's get started. Thank you so much for being on the show and everything. And I got to ask you, were you ever in the military?
No. Okay. I had opportunities. Just honestly, it wasn't for me. Four of my buddies went straight to the sandbox in 1991, and they all come home, but of course they never come home the same. How can you? Right. And so, yeah, my wife and I are patriots. My dad's Vietnam vet. His brother was Vietnam era. Just simply his ship didn't go back to Vietnam when it came back. My grandfather was World War II, Big Red One. My wife's dad was Army 55 to 57. Obviously, huge patriot, you know, in respect for military.
Absolutely. Now, was that part of your motivation to, like, with your father going through what he went through and your friends to, again, start the Veterans Ranch, or were there other projects even before that?
No, you know, I tell you what led up to it. Honestly, we were trying to figure out something to do, right? I mean, now when it comes to horses, my wife and I, you know, we've been married almost 23 years. Mm-hmm. We wanted a couple horses, our little slice of Americana. And, you know, the ranch aspect of it wasn't really in play. Good Lord works in mysterious ways, though. Mm-hmm. We were getting sick and tired of being sick and tired, of reading articles about men and women going to the VA and trying to ask for help, saying, hey, I want to check myself in, not getting the help, literally being told they're not effed up enough and checking out in their vehicle, you know, in the parking lot, you know, leaving the hospital and whatnot. We just got tired of reading. Now, those stories sadly still exist, but we're trying to do everything we can. So literally October of 2017. Okay. My dad always taught me keep a legal pad by the bed in case you get an idea in the middle of the night. A lot of legal pads went a lot of nowhere, but this one, I still have one word written on it. It says ranch. Okay. Again, I had no idea what that meant. 2 weeks going by, a lot of praying about it, a lot of staring at that page going, okay, just speak to me, man. Just say something. Mm-hmm. And we're going to Bass Pro Shops one day, me and my wife. We stopped at Chili's for lunch, and she must have seen smoke coming out of my ears because she asked me if I needed a pen. She saw the wheels turning, right? And so literally 20, 30 Chili's napkins later were the ideas for the Veterans Ranch.
Wow.
And by December of that year, we were an official charity. And, you know, just been growing ever since. COVID slowed everybody down a little bit. But we were still, anybody that would work with us, right, if they didn't buy into the hype and they were like, hey, veterans are still too important, you know, we're going to do something, we were out there doing it. It was less, but we were doing it. And then just moving forward, we travel the state of Florida, we travel Texas. Okay. So we don't have an official ranch yet. We're working on that. You know, like I said, COVID slowed down. And then when Texas and Florida opened up, the two states we're registered in, property went triple because everybody, supply and demand, everybody wanted to move to Florida and Texas. So that's kind of slowed down a little bit, but we still travel and do events. Some days are one day, some days are a full weekend.
Okay. Now, how do you guys plan to get your funding then down the road?
You know, we do a little bit of everything. I have a grant writer. Have a grant writer. She's awesome. You know, we do regular grassroots fundraising. You know, you'll see, we ask for 22 a month. But we're stepping that up now. We just made a change on the website, theveteransranch.org. Now says $44 a month. Now, of course, we'll take anything anybody can give. You know, if I had a million people give me a dollar, the ripple effect, right, I could have in the veteran community be huge. That being said, $44 a month in memory of the 44 veterans a day we're losing to suicide. You know, we talked about that. And, you know, but again, anything you can give matters. But, you know, even at $44 a month, that really breaks down to less than about what you'll spend at a night out with the family for dinner. You know, I mean, yeah, I still eat some fast food, right? Try not to, you know, it ain't good for you, right? But we try. If me, the wife and daughter go to McDonald's, we're close to $44. We're not even really adding up a whole lot of stuff. You know, Culver's, I went to Culver's or, you know, some, give me some old Jesus chicken at Chick-fil-A, right? You supersize the fries, get some of those delicious milkshakes and boom, you're at $50. I love me some Jesus chicken. I just don't know if it's worth $50.
Amen. You know what I'm thinking? Like a perfect scenario would be, let's say you have like a veteran or whatnot, and he goes to the VA and he doesn't get the help he needs. He could just call you up in your program and you can get him started. Is that kind of like your goal?
Really is. Yeah. I mean, you know, we want to help anybody. We're not conflict specific. Okay. If you're World War II, Korea, and you still want to come out and kick it with some horses, God bless you. Come on out. You know, we do not charge vets or immediate household family for anything we do. So that's why we're very donation, very grant based. You hear us beating that, you know, donation drum a lot, but it's because, you know, the word horse and cheap never go hand in hand, right? They never meet. So, you know, yeah, they can reach out to us. We're not therapists. We're not doctors. We're country boys and know how to work with horses. Right. But, you know, we start with something real simple. We're going to put a grooming brush in your hand. Okay. Get you to start working a rhythmic motion of grooming that horse. Two reasons. One, you stop thinking about the world for a while. You know, you're on task. You're on focus. It, you know, a good friend of mine, he's on our advisory board. He's a retired SEAL. You know, he's front sight focused, right? You got to be front sight focused. And so it gets you on that task and that mission. But at the same time, you have to start building a bond of trust with an animal. It's inherently born not to trust anyone. Horses are pack animals, prey animals. They can bite you or kick you. That hurts like hell to us, but it's not a much of a defense mechanism out in the wild, right? Horses want to know two simple things. Are you strong enough to be my leader? And are you going to hurt me? Now, you'll do that your whole life with your own horse. Imagine one you just met 5 minutes ago.
Yeah. And God, it teaches you so many like life lessons too, especially building relationships, setting boundaries with others.
Yeah, really does. And, you know, and that's just kind of the beginning of the grooming brush. You know, that might be day one, day two. Again, just being around horses. If you've, you know, you're a city slicker, you've never been around horses at all, they can be intimidating. I mean, I had a guy one time, we put him next to a horse. He was 5'5 with boots on. I'm 6'4 and I'm looking at this thing's shoulders. They're called withers, right? So I'm looking at withers and he's looking like at ribs, you know, and he was freaking out, you know, but then we showed him really gentle giant. Let's get up on it. Show you how to ride it. We found out he was from the Bronx. And so real city boy, right? Never been around horses before. And, but long and short of that story is we ended up having him out 2 hours on a trail ride and he'd never been on a horse before and, be able to get closer bond to his wife because his wife been around horses for 20 some odd years and didn't really understand there was that breakdown of communication, why he wouldn't do any horse stuff with her because he was scared of him, but he didn't want to admit he was scared. He was active duty Air Force, couldn't admit that fear. And we got him to start overcoming that fear right there on day one.
You know, I love earlier on when you said it's not just for the veteran, it's for the family too, because a lot of people don't realize that it's not just the soldier that is affected by war. It's the whole family system. It's the mom, it's the son, it's the daughter. That's all, again, greatly affected by the change.
Yeah. For everybody out there that's watching us, do this. When you thank a vet for his service and the families there with him, thank them all, okay? Because they all serve. They just don't wear a uniform. They do. It's a different brigade. You know, you're worried about the one that is deployed, or you're just worried about, you know, are we going to, you know, have to move again in 2 years? You know, there's always something that there's a little fear and angst, because trust me, folks, when I tell you this, when you hear like, you know, country singers talking about, you know, active duty military and saying they don't do it for the money. Mm-hmm. They don't. Your average E4 makes 31.5 a year. I know McDonald's mm-hmm. managers that make more.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, on average, the majority of your families, if they're living off base and have extra expenses and everything else, they're on food stamps.
Yeah.
You know, they're protecting our way of life to do what we're doing here right now. And they're on food stamps.
That's disgusting.
Absolute crime. I just, drives me nuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Now, I'm curious too, what is your process going to look like too? So like when a veteran comes in and he says, hey, I want to be part of your program. Obviously there's paperwork, but then are you going to require them to have like an assessment or a mental health assessment, or how's that all going to look like?
Be honest with you, we just want to sit down and talk with you person mm-hmm. to person, guy to guy, you know, just on a level, right? Because one of the things that I found, everything I always talk about is what I've learned from veterans. Because again, I wear cowboy boots. I never wore combat boots. Mm-hmm. So I can have the empathy, but can't have all the sympathy. We just want to know if you know, and not even if you're doing all right. Because what guy say? I'm good. I'm fine. You know, whatever, right? Yep. Those aren't feelings. Those are deflections.
Okay,
you know?
Doesn't always mean okay. Yeah,
exactly. And it's okay to not be okay, right? Mm-hmm. We want to find out, one, if there's anything above our pay grade that needs to be dealt with.
Yeah.
Because we got a lot, you know, horses can do a lot of things, but there are a lot of things above our pay grade. And that's why a lot of vets don't go to therapists. We're not here to knock therapists. There's a great place for them. But there's different types of ones that, like, I've got one in Georgia that is working with somebody in Tennessee right now, virtually. Okay. I got them two connected. And they're doing amazing things. It's a EDMR. In my language, it's unplugging your, kind of like you got to unplug the router and plug it back in to reboot it. Yeah, it's kind of what it does with your brain, right? It's amazing stuff. Because I was in Texas one time on a radio show out there. Guy was a vet, and he said, and I didn't know he was going to share this, and it takes a lot to knock me over. Because, Jer, I made more progress in 10 minutes with a horse in an equine therapy program than I did in 10 years and 3 failed suicide attempts laying on a couch asking me how I felt.
Oh,
yeah. I was like, dude, you know, but that's the thing, right? Because most therapists, God love them, they went to school, they got their degree, they learned Freud and all this stuff. But they are so not ready for the brutally honest answer a vet's going to give them on how it makes them feel, especially depending on what their job was and what they saw and did. Yeah, they ain't ready for that. And when they get all PTSD, we got to put them on these pills and this and this. No, you asked them how you felt, and they're going to tell you.
Oh, yeah. And again, me as a therapist and on behalf of my therapist, we got to do a better job. I'm just telling you this right now. It's horrendous what happened to your friend. And that, again, I'm not trying to bash that therapist, but when I hear things like that, and there's protocols that were not followed.
I agree. Yeah.
And any good therapist, and I don't want to get too far off track, would never even go into the hardcore trauma to begin with right away too. You make sure they're comfortable with themselves before telling traumatic stories. You know, like, are they okay? How are they going to react to, again, telling that story so that they don't get into fight, flight, freeze mode when they tell a story, because that happens all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, let's face it, we've all walked through some stuff in our life, right? I mean, that's why I'm a big proponent of dropping the D. You know, it's PTS. The government calls it a disorder so you can qualify for some benefits.
Mm.
But the bottom line is it's post-traumatic stress. My brother-in-law's got post-traumatic stress. Mm-hmm. He lost his twin brother in a car accident when he was 8 years old. And they were arguing over who was supposed to sit where. Well, when his brother got taken out in the car accident, that was his seat. That's where they were arguing over who should have sat there. So, you know, the survivor's guilt, the losing a twin brother, you know, the whole nine yards. And I'm not going to get into all his, you know, stuff and share his story with him not being here. But yes, I mean, we've all walked through some things in our life. So that's where, you know, again, we can have a lot of empathy. We may not have had a buddy die in our arms or fire shot in anger, have a bullet whiz by our head. But there's a lot of relatable stuff out there that if you peel off just a couple layers of the onion, you know, you'll realize that if you just listen to what they're saying and not be ready for your, you know, immediate response, you know, you'll find a lot more comparisons. Like I did a post about cowboys and military veterans,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's blowing up on LinkedIn. But there's so many relatable things, because cowboys will give up their life for their flock, almost like shepherds, right? If you're out there with your cattle, you will give up your life to save your flock. You will give up, you know, you sleep out in the dark. You're not home drinking beer all the time or going to the bar. You know, you're out there in sometimes some unruly conditions. Now, again, that doesn't make it a direct correlation to, you know, 20 years of Afghanistan or Iraq or anything like that. But there's a lot of correlations there where, again, if we could just get back to civil discourse being okay in the country, you know, being able to talk and communicate and really smooth things out, we'd realize we all have a lot more in common than we do differences.
Well, again, like you said earlier, it's that base and trust and unconditional love and empathy that one another have. Okay. And I think that's the biggest mistake therapists make, is that they don't keep it simple. Like, keep it simple, stupid. They try to get too advanced. You need that rapport. And I think that's what the horses do. That the horses do such a great job of building that love, trust, and relationship between one another, where, let's say, you're my therapist, right? And we're talking. If you challenge me right out of the bat, I'm going to get defensive or whatever, because we don't have that base and that respect. Once I have that base and respect with you and that good rapport, yeah, you could challenge me a little bit, and I'm not going to blow off the handle, because, again, you have my trust and respect.
Yeah. Well, and that's such a key with horses. You know, I don't care if it's your horse you've had for 20 years. Are you strong enough to be my leader, and are you going to hurt me? You know, you don't run up on a horse. Okay, horses are the most intuitive animal on the planet. If there's another one that's more intuitive, I just haven't met it yet. You know, human energy field is like 5 to 7 feet.
Yep.
That's why most people can kind of run up on you and you're like, oh shit, you know, right there. A horse's is 15 to 30 feet.
Okay, yep.
Yeah, so when I tell you it can feel a gnat land on its back and it knows everything about you 10 feet away, we're probably giving the horse a little credit. It's paying attention to you long before you think it is. So it's a mirror, really. It reflects back everything you're putting out there. So anger, fear, nervous, anxiety, whatever. So again, you're always working on building that bond of trust. That's why we always tell people, and it's so good in the therapy world across the board, you have to give yourself to the process. You know, come in, oh, this horse don't like me. What? It don't like you because you don't act like you're liking it.
Yeah.
So of course it's not going to like you. Like you said, if you just come right at it, man, full brunt, and I'm going to come at you, well, of course, you're fight or flight. You're going to fight.
Yeah. You know? So you didn't earn my respect.
Yeah. And then, you know, because when you build that bond of trust with a horse, now, obviously, what I'm about to say, we never want to have happen. But my dad calls horses your seventh sense. Mm. Horses are your buddy in your unit that knew everything about you, the good, the bad, the ugly, all the warts, but he's there to get you home. You're there to get him home. No judgment. Okay. Here's how that translates to a horse. If you're riding that horse, you can ask that horse to ride at top speed for you, and it will, until its heart explodes and dies. Mm-hmm. That's loyalty. Men and women don't see that outside of the unit when they hang up the uniform. Your job will let you down. Your friends will let you down. Your job will let you down. You know, all that stuff. But I'm here to tell you this right now, and you can take these words to the bank. You will let your horse down before your horse lets you down. Mm-hmm. Because there is that loyalty factor there. It will constantly come back to you if you allow it to.
Absolutely. No, and I loved what you said earlier about, like, the horses and their senses and, like, the distance. I think it also goes back to, like, prey, them being the prey, not the predator, where they need to be aware of that kind of stuff, where let's say they see like a wolf that's 150, 200 feet away or whatever. They're looking at the wolf's facial features to see if the wolf is cranky. Does it seem hungry? Does he seem mad or whatever, to know, okay, I need to get the hell out of here.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause fight or flight on a horse is flight 99% of the time. Yeah. Cause again, those defense mechanisms aren't real great in the wild. So just get away from the situation, you know, as a pack, just get away from the situation. And that is the great thing about a horse. And they remember you. I'm here to tell you, there's a place we used to go to, and my wife just fell in love with this one horse. We almost wanted to adopt it, but, you know, we just didn't have the room for it. His name was Deco, and he was a jumper. He was rescued because in that world, it's very fickle, hurt an ankle, didn't jump the way he used to, they wanted to put him down.
Yeah.
Right. Because he ain't making money for me anymore. You're no use to me. Well, this great place adopted him. It had probably been a couple of years since we were up there regularly, but it had been a couple of years since we've been there. Just life busy getting in the way. She went back up there and saw that horse. That horse came right up to her like he hadn't, you know, like, oh, my God, thank you for coming back to see me. It's been so long. I brought my wife to tears. It was just so cool to see that emotional connection you can have with these great animals.
That is such a beautiful thing. And as we were talking earlier about like Jocko's podcast, you know, he's talking about how in the Civil War, this guy was in this platoon and everything, and he went to battles with his horse. He loved his horse. When the war was over and everything, like the horse went on to like some like company and whatnot. And like 5-6 years later, he saw the horse in like in its regime and its company, and it was just transferring people around, and the horse knew him right away, built that instant connection. And he almost said, like, the horse was pretty much like saying, you know, like, come on, Sergeant, get me out of here, come on, like, and it broke his heart because he couldn't afford to buy the horse from the guy,
whatever,
and it just killed him.
It's a, I tell you, man, we call him God's majestic animal. There's, I don't know if they're, you know, our reincarnated family members. I don't know what it is, man, but there is just something so special about a horse that, because really, if you look at it, here's this massive animal with these skinny legs. I mean, nothing about a horse makes sense, but it all works. And, you know, I mean, it just, I'm telling you, get on their back and give you the ride of your life, you know? And again, our whole goal is something very simple, but it takes time to do. Get you to lay down heavy coats of burden. When I used to do a lot of sales training, and I've been self-employed for a long time. So we do sales training, you know, leave your personal baggage at the door. It'll be there when you get back. Cause if you're on the phone or face-to-face sales, people know if you need that commission, they know if you need that light bill paid, you know, so leave your personal baggage at the door. Well, same thing with dealing with vets, but we call it laying down heavy coats of burden, right? Cause what do they teach us, especially as men? Compartmentalize, put it in a box, shove it down here, put this, shove it over here. Well, eventually it's going to come out. And, you know, sometimes it comes out in a waterfall. And so not only are you laying down heavy coats of burden, but we want you picking up less junk when you go back to pick up your stuff. Right. And then eventually walk off into an improved version of yourself. And we're going to be here however long that takes to do. I'll be 50 next month. No, December. Sorry. It already feels like November. I'll be 50 in December. And so I got a long ways to go. My wife too, our daughter's only 18. So she'll pick it up and run with it, you know, when they're putting us in the ground, because unfortunately the war machine's never going to stop, you know, stockholders want dividends. And that means you got to build bombs and bullets and guns and tanks. And there's always going to be somebody to fight. So as long as that exists, we're going to be here, because there's 19 million veterans in the country right now, as we speak, and growing.
So when do you think you're going to officially get started with your program?
The program goes. I mean, we've been around for 5 years. So, you know, it's just, we just don't have our own piece of dirt yet. So we travel the state of Florida. We travel Texas as, you know, funds and money allow. But, you know, so we always have something going on. It just might be every other month, or it could be every couple of weeks. It's sporadic. This is why we ask everybody, we have a program going on right now. I know I mentioned $44 a month, but here's one thing we've had going on for a while that would be amazing if we could hit this goal. Okay. Now we have, I'm going to break this down. We have 330 million people in this country, about 180 million of those are roughly working age. We are only asking for 22,000 people. All right. We're talking like your town or less.
Yes.
22,000 people to give $22 a month in memory of the minimum 22 a day we're losing for 1 year. That's $264 a year. That's it. And that is the less than one McDonald's visit a month, right?
Yes.
Yep. If we hit that goal, we can buy the flagship ranch, buy our own horses, buy everything. And oh my God, I could go on for hours about the stuff we've got on the drawing board that we're going to be able to bring vets out to. We're going to teach them how to grow their own food. We're going to teach them how to start their own business and be self-employed. There are so many things on the drawing board, and you, the great American people out there, can help us make that happen with something as simple as 73 cents a day.
No, it'd be really cool if you again had the building and the ranch, but you almost had like a retreat thing, like a family retreat where the family again is going with the veteran and they're living together. And then like every morning they all wake up together, have breakfast and go and learn together these skills.
It's on the drawing board.
I think about that kind of stuff too. Like yeah. How cool it would be.
Yeah. No, there's going to be short-term housing, whether you need a day, a week, up to a year. To get back on your feet, or you just want to come hang out for a weekend, whatever the case might be. And you're going to be out there working with us, right? Now, we're going to hire nothing but veterans and immediate household family, but you're going to be out there, you know, mucking stalls with us. Cause I don't ask anybody, that's part of my leadership skills that were taught to me. I don't ask anybody to do anything I haven't done 100 times myself. So you'll see us out there mucking stalls. You're going to be out there mucking stalls with us. You're going to learn how to work with horses. You're going to learn how to grow your own food. There's so many things that you're going to learn how to do at your time at the Veterans Ranch and come back as many times as you want.
Yeah, you get a whole bunch of different kinds of programs, man. It's so cool because I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, wow, that'd be awesome. What can we do? What can we not do? You know?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. If I got 50 or 100 acres, look out.
Yep.
Yeah, we're going to be doing Western riding lessons. You know, we're going to be doing trail rides. You just want to come out and do a simple trail ride. We're going to have that ability to do that. So, you know, again, it every bit helps. But again, $22 a month, $264 a year, you know, especially in these inflationary prices, that's a case of Budweiser. You know, I saw a guy at the gas station the other day, got 2 cartons of cigarettes and a case of Bud, and he was over $200. I'm like, oh, my God.
Man,
you know, so I mean, it's just like it doesn't take much. Give up one thing, one really little thing. Your health might thank you, your waistline might thank you, you know. But, you know, seriously, one less trip to any fast food joint, night out to dinner, and you're literally helping save lives. I haven't taken a salary in 5 years because we had another business that was feeding that. Well, COVID killed that. Okay. But this is my gig, this is what I do full time every day. So, you know, for everybody out there that is against salaries, just understand this is a business and, you know, 501c3 stands for corporation. If you don't run this like a business, you have a very expensive hobby. Now, I don't need $300,000-$500,000 a year like some of these big dogs out there, you know, that you see on TV every night with celebrities asking you for monthly donations. I'm just telling you, we're going to be boots on the ground. We already are daily. But on a nationwide basis, because we've already launched what's called our affiliate ranch program, where if you are a patriot or a veteran, let's say you got 10 acres and 5 horses or 5 acres and 2 horses, the majority of what we do is groundwork. You can come under our umbrella instead of starting your own nonprofit, you know, and starting 80-hour work weeks from scratch like I've been doing. Now you can be the Veterans Ranch Omaha, Cedar Rapids, St. Louis, Fort Worth, fill in the blanks and help us start serving the 19 million veterans that are out there.
Yeah. That's on the bottom of your website, right? Cause I was going to ask you that later on. Can anyone just start their own ranch?
Yeah. Yeah. Do it under us. Cause you're going to get our brands, our logos, our colors, our t-shirts, you know, the blue we use. Why do we use that blue? Not cause it's a pretty blue. Yeah. It's the most trusted color on the color wheel.
Yeah.
You know, we've been going through the psychology and studying these things. You know, when you look at our brand, it is the horse in the circle coming full circle, down heavy coats of burden. It's all those things. So you don't have to do that. You might be brand new in your town, but you got a 5-year-old nonprofit that's now getting grants. You don't just start. I was young, dumb, and naive on that. Hey, start a nonprofit, fill out all these grant applications, and they all get rejected because they don't know you. They don't trust you. Sound familiar? You don't have a track record yet. In 5 years, we've only gotten 2 partial grants, right? Now, we're thankful of what we got, but it took 5 years to get to that point because we had to keep our face out there and get a track record. You guys that want to start something can come under us. Hey, you don't be a nonprofit already. You know, you'll come under our umbrella. You'll get your own fundraising link. I mean, we can cover all this stuff when you reach out to us. But it's just an amazing way to be able to help veterans nationwide and not have to start from scratch.
Okay. Now, I kind of touched on this earlier, but again, going back to the therapy thing, would you ever maybe consider down the road getting some therapists? But when I say some, I mean the right ones for your program to add some sort of like group therapeutic element to that with the horses.
Absolutely. Absolutely, without a doubt. Of course, we'd love it to be a veteran therapist because, again, they've seen it from both sides of the boots. You know,
what about one who has veterans in their family?
Yeah, right. I mean, that can be too, right? Because you grow up with it and you experience it. Mm-hmm. You know, so I mean, you've seen that. So yeah, absolutely. We're always wanting to grow and expand that to where somebody can either maybe donate some time, hire them, mix of both, whatever, but they can be out there on the daily or just a few days a week, whatever the case might be with their schedule, and be able to come out and add that extra layer. Like I say, man, there are so many things that we've got on the drawing board. When we get a piece of dirt and we hit that goal of 22,000 people, Katie, bar the door.
And do you guys have merchandise too we can buy?
Oh yeah. Yeah. When you're on the veteransranch.org, you can go to the get involved section. You'll see the merchandise store, t-shirts, pint glasses, slides. I don't have flip flops. I got slides. You name it, pretty much got it. We have a Land of the Free because of the Brave line. Yep. We have a red, remember everyone deployed for Red Fridays. You can get those shirts. As everyone sees me on everything online, you know, I'm always, hey, y'all, we got a hey, y'all line. You know, so nice. You name it, we got it. And again, all the proceeds are going to support saving lives.
Oh, amen, man. So now as we wind down, I just have to ask you, what are your future goals to, let's say, the next 5 to 10 years? Is it maybe writing a book or is it just getting more ranches started up? What would you say?
Yeah, more ranches. I've tried writing books before. It just, I don't know, maybe it just wasn't the right time. You know, the good Lord will tell me if it's the right time. But, but yeah, I mean, we want that flagship ranch that just shows, you know, full spectrum capabilities of what we're able to do. I want at least in the next 3 years, I want bare minimum 20 affiliate ranches across the country. And you know, there's one thing we need to talk about real quick here is that, anybody out there, you know, again, our main thing is fighting the effects of PTS and veteran suicide. We are now honoring, I don't know if we're the first one ever, but we're going to make it as big as possible. We are promoting and honoring the ones who made it home, but lost the battle with their demons. So when you're on our website, theveteransranch.org, you'll see a button that says the final roll call. We are honoring these brave men and women. You can fill out a form, upload a couple of pictures. We want to remember these brave men and women for who they were and what they did, not their final act. The demons took them out. They didn't take themselves out. Okay. This was my dad's idea as a Vietnam vet. I love it. I couldn't get it built fast enough. And thanks to Christine Dean at DFW Marketing Diva for our building our website and helping us make this happen and get it done. You know, it's an amazing thing, right? We have the World War I, the World War II, a Korean memorial. We have the Vietnam Wall. You know, we were talking about how emotional that is to, if you've ever visited that. There's traveling Vietnam walls now. There's the, you know, Afghan traveling wall and everything else. But there's nothing honoring the brave men and women who served with honor and distinction, came home and lost the battle with the demons. And, you know, and that's not what they should be remembered for. They should be remembered for who they were. So if, and I know this is an emotional thing for anybody out there that has had this occur in their family or a friend, you know, but when you go to the veteransranch.org, you can click the final roll call button, fill out the information. We'll get it. Just make sure it's all filled out right. And we are going to post that on the wall. It's a virtual wall that will honor your family member that you guys love so much.
That is so cool, man. And I will start sharing that on my website, my podcast, anything I could do to support you guys, let me know.
Yeah, sure will. And again, thank you for having us on. Again, for everybody, theveteransranch.org. You can hit the donate button. I know I'm beating that drum a lot, but folks, without the dollars, what we do don't make sense, right? I mean, you know, I can't go into my own pocket every day, all day. I've been there, done that before. It hurts. So we're just asking everybody to give a buck for veterans. Yeah, that's a funny play on words. But, you know, give a buck for something that matters in this world.
That's true. Now, if any of my listeners do want to get a hold of you, we have the website, but is there any other emails or social media sites they could use to make contact with you?
Yeah, they can hit us. The email is contact@theveteransranch.org. Phone number's 863-815-5896. You can pretty much find us on all the socials, either as The Veterans Ranch or the parent company of the nonprofit is PJJR Ranch Corp. It's mine and my wife's initials. So you can find us anywhere on all the socials. You know, Facebook, nice. Instagram, our YouTube channel, help that grow. We're on Truth Social, yep. Getter, Telegram, you name it, we're out there. So, nice. You know, yeah, you can pretty much find us and follow us on all the big dogs anywhere.
And for all my listeners, I will make sure I put those links on the show notes so you all have access to that. So, and JR, thank you so much, man. I had a blast.
Yeah, it was awesome. Again, thanks for having us on here. Thanks for everybody out there watching. And we look forward to seeing y'all soon somewhere down the road.
I again want to thank JR for being an awesome special guest for the show. I also want to express that the information put in this episode was not meant to be taken as therapeutic advice. If you do find yourself struggling with any type of mental health or addiction issues, please seek the care of a licensed medical doctor or a licensed mental health professional. I also want to thank all my listeners for your support. It means the world to me. And if anyone wants to contact me, my email is behavioralhealthintegration121@gmail.com. My website is behavioralhealthintegration.org. I'm also on Facebook, LinkedIn, and I will give all this information on my show notes. I also want to inform all of my listeners we have another special episode airing this next Monday. It is with returning guest Margaret Swift Thompson and new special guest Gloria England. These ladies will be doing the episode on families and addiction and families dealing with grieving over the loss of their loved one through addiction. And I also want to inform everyone that Margaret and Gloria will be doing a weekend workshop called A Different Kind of Grief. This will be a weekend retreat for those who have lost loved ones through addiction. And this workshop will take place at Hazelden's Dan Anderson's Renewal Center. This weekend will be December 9th through 11th. So please, if you have any questions, feel free to contact Gloria. Gloria's email is gloria@recoveringyou.com. And her number is 612-866-1056. All right, until next time, have a good day. Bye.